How good are ye at preparing for upcoming events? How much of a procrastinator are ye? Maybe you're in a job where it is your bread and butter to receive information and throw out quick decisions. You're the sort of person who is always prepared on schedule. You're always ready for everything. Or maybe you're more like a friend of mine. He takes procrastination to new levels. He had some exams coming up on the very near horizon, and he decided that he's going to start watching some Korean soap operas. But not content with mere subtitles and exams looming ever closer, he decided to start learning Korean to keep up. Now he's pretty good at Korean. How much of a procrastinator are you? I came across a book called The Ostrich Paradox, where the authors observe that humans are pretty bad at preparing for high-stakes events, for things like hurricanes and natural disasters. They rate that we tend to underplay warnings and make poor choices, and decisions are pushed back and choices left until too late, and we procrastinate even when the stakes are high. As you join us on this joyous day on Rafe's Thanksgiving, you're joining us for a series in Matthew's Gospel. Matthew's Gospel is an account of Jesus' life, and we're focusing on chapters 24 and 25, where Jesus is teaching us about the ultimate high-stakes event. He's teaching us about his return at the end of time. And he's teaching us so that we know what it's going to be like, and so we can make sure that we're ready for it. We know how to live in light of it. And in the passage that was read out, Jesus tells us a story to help us learn about his return. And in the story, Jesus compares his return to being like a wedding feast. You see that in verse 10. Just look down at verse 10. When Jesus returns, he's going to gather all of his people together, and there is going to be a massive banquet. It looks like John and Candice have laid on a feast for us next door. I'm looking forward to it at the end of the service. And in the time that Jesus was teaching, the wedding feast was the high point of the wedding. Families came together. There was food and there was drink. There was laughter and there was joy. All of the significance and the celebration of a marriage fused into one. It's where everyone joined with the bride and the groom in their joy and in their celebration. And I wonder if you've ever thought of what Christians are looking forward to in those terms. Have you thought of it as a party and a feast? When you think of the Christian future of heaven, do you think of it like that? I think we tend to get mental pictures of something that's really vague and really boring. There'll be some harps there, some clouds. It's something that has all of the appeal, really, of being locked in a cold church building with songs of praise on repeat. Who'd want to do that? But Jesus' description is of an eternal feast. We had a glimpse of that in our Old Testament reading. Is it a feast of rich food for all peoples, a banquet of aged wines, the best of meats and the finest of wines? Jesus is saying that being with me at the end of time is like being at a celebration that never ends, with a meal that makes Michelin stars look like child's play, with a feast that forever satisfies. Who would not want to be there? Who would want to miss out on that? But as much as I'd love to spend time thinking about the details of this feast, our passage doesn't actually focus on it. It gets a passing reference. Instead, the focus is on those who are helping out at this wedding. Just look down at verse 1. At that time, the kingdom of heaven will be like 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. the virgins or the young women are basically a blend between ushers and bridesmaids. They're the ones who are helping out at this wedding. And being an usher or a bridesmaid is a great honour, and it comes with important responsibilities. And one of the responsibilities for these women was to go out and meet the groom as he came from his house, and then parade with him at night through the streets to the wedding feast. And in focusing on these women, Jesus wants us to be prepared for his return. To be ready, because it will seem like it's a long time coming. It'll seem like it's a long way off. So we're with these 10 women, and the big day is upon us. The women are getting ready to meet the groom and be part of the wedding celebrations. The clock is ticking down, and they are powering through their preparations. There's a haze of hairspray, a flash of forest green dress. They're getting everything ready that they need to meet the groom, including their oil lamps. They mustn't forget their oil lamps. They're going to be taking the groom through the streets at night, and so they need to take these lamps with them to see where they're going. To do their job, to be part of the wedding party, they must have these lamps with them. And so when they've got them, they go to the meeting point to meet the groom. They wait for him to arrive, and verse 5, the bridegroom was a long time in coming. And so they wait. And they wait. And they wait. They pull out some cards to play a game of Snap. And when that gets boring, they start scraping the barrel and play some I Spy. Turns out you can't really see that much when you've only got some oil lamps. And so quickly that gets boring. And end of verse 5, they all became drowsy and they fell asleep. They're all fast asleep. The wedding adrenaline has worn off. And now all you can hear in the house is soft snores, and it's still, apart from the flickering lights. They're all sleeping, all fast asleep in the house. The groom is delayed. His coming seems like it's a long way off. And these women are left waiting for him. And Jesus wants us to see that his return is going to be a bit like this. It's going to feel like it's a long time coming. It's going to feel like it's a long way off. And if that was the case when Jesus was teaching those around him at the time, it's certainly the case now, 2,000 or so years later. And so the Christian life will involve waiting. Being a Christian will often feel like being one of the women in these houses, sitting around waiting, with the clock ticking away and waiting for the groom to come, waiting for that joyous feast, for that wedding feast, for that party, which seems just a little bit far away. It'll feel like being at the airport, waiting to see a friend or a family member who's been on a long trip, and then the board displays flight delayed. You're going to have to wait. Jesus' return is going to seem like it's a long way off. We need to be prepared to wait. And knowing this will help with our expectations. What does the Christian life look like? What does it feel like to be a Christian? What's it like to be a Christian in the here and now? Well, being a Christian involves a lot of looking forward to something that seems a long time coming, to something that seems a long, long way off, like being one of these women and waiting for the groom's arrival. Now, sometimes people have taken this delay to mean that it won't actually happen. Jesus won't come. You say that Jesus is going to return, but it's been 2,000 years. Where is he? It's not going to happen. Why hasn't he come yet? Christians are just waiting for something that's never going to come. It's just wishful thinking, ungrounded hope. But just because something hasn't happened doesn't mean it's never going to happen. if we applied that thinking to everyday life, then we'd leave friends stranded at airports when their flights were delayed. If we had that kind of short-term fix on the immediate thinking, then we'd never make efforts to, say, tackle climate change, because the effects seem a long time coming. Just because something hasn't happened and may not seem like it's going to happen now, it does not mean that it never will. And the return of Jesus isn't something that Christians sign up to without any grounds, not something they sign up to on a whim. It's all based on what Jesus did when he first came. All of the stuff that Matthew tells us about. Matthew's gospel is grounded in history. It was written by someone who's with Jesus at the time. And it's full of his immense claims about his authority, about his identity as God. It's full of God's diagnosis of what's wrong with the world and Jesus' rescue that he came to bring. And all of these claims are backed up by Jesus' resurrection from the dead. Jesus made big claims about who he was and what he came to do. And he backed each and every one of those claims up. And say, when he says that he's going to return, we can take him at his word, because he's backed up his word about everything else. So the issue for Christians, and really for all of us, is not whether Jesus is going to return. If you've wrestled with the identity of Jesus, if you've looked at who he is and are convinced about who he is, then that's never in any kind of doubt. The issue is not whether, but it's when. When is Jesus going to return? And Jesus is teaching us that that when will seem like it's a long way off. It'll seem like it's a long time coming. And so we need to be prepared to wait. But Jesus actually wants to push us a little bit further than this in our passage. He wants to push us on. Right at the start of the story, he split these women into two groups. Look down at verse 2. 5 of the women were foolish and 5 were wise. The foolish one took their lamps but did not take any oil with them. The wise ones, however, took oil in jars along with their lamps. The bridegroom was a long time in coming, and they all became drowsy and fell asleep. 5 of these women were prepared for the groom's delay. They thought it might be a possibility, so they took some extra oil with them. They were wise. But 5 of these women were not prepared. They didn't take any extra oil with them. They were foolish. And at this point in the story, you can't actually tell these two groups apart. They look exactly the same. They're all wearing the same wedding dresses. They're all in the same house. They're all sleeping, waiting for the groom. But when the groom appears, those who were not prepared, those who were not ready, are exposed. They're shown up. Because they didn't account for the groom's delay, they're not prepared for the groom's arrival. Jesus wants us to be prepared to wait for his arrival, but he wants us to wait prepared. He wants us to be ready for it. Because though his return will seem like it's a long way off, it will suddenly come. We're back in verse 5. All of the women are asleep, but then they're startled awake by a sharp and hurried cry. Verse 6. Here's the bridegroom. Come out to meet him. It's the groom. It's the one you've been waiting for. He's arrived. Quick, get ready to meet him. So the women, they jump up and they get ready to go. They get the creases out of their dresses. They rub the sleep out of their eyes and unstick the hair from their faces. And then they grab their lamps. And the lamps have run out of the oil, which they put in earlier on in the day. More oil is needed for them to keep giving light. And so the 5 wise women who prepared ahead pour in their oil, and the the lamps spark a light and give a bright glow. But the five foolish women just fumble about in vain. They have no oil, their lamps won't light. Panic sets in. This was the one job, the one thing that they had to do. They had to meet the groom with their lamps, and now they can't do it. What are they going to do? They turn to those whose lamps are burning brightly. We need your oil. Give us some, quick. But the reply comes, verse 9. No, there's not enough to go round. For the oil to be shared means that no one will have enough oil and nobody will be able to meet the groom. They need to have their own oil. The wise aren't completely unhelpful, though. And the reply continues in verse 9. Instead, go to those who sell oil and buy some for yourselves. Quick, run to the 24-hour Sainsbury's and get some oil. And so they dash off, quick as they can, to buy the extra oil. But verse 10, while they're on their way to buy the oil, the bridegroom arrived. The groom arrives and they're not there to meet him. Those who are ready, who are prepared, the wise, the ones who had enough oil, they go with their groom. Their lamps held up, shining brightly, and they go to the party. They go to the wedding feast. They enter into the house where it's all happening. And as they go in, the door is locked behind them. The party has started and they join in with the festivities. The food comes out, the music is on, everybody is dancing. And they're there with the bride and the groom in their radiant joy. And then eventually the other five women show up. They're sweaty from their sprint to Sainsbury's, but now their lamps are burning. They knock on the door. Let us in, let us in. But verse 12, the groom replied, "Truly I tell you, I don't know you. You're not welcome. You've had your opportunity, but you've wasted it. You've left it until it's too late. The one thing that you had to do to get ready, it's come and gone." It's the sort of reaction that a bridesmaid or an usher would get if they skipped the wedding, skipped all of their responsibilities, and showed up at the reception at the very end just to get some cake. What are you doing? You've missed what you were supposed to do. What a cheek to show up now and expect to be let in. And so the door is shut. They can faintly hear the music and the laughter and the joy coming from inside. But they're outside, in the silence and in the cold. They weren't ready for the groom's sudden arrival. They weren't ready when the moment came. And so they miss out on the party. Because they weren't waiting prepared, they don't share in the joy. They're excluded. They are left outside. And then comes the punch, verse 13. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Do you see what Jesus is saying? He's saying that my return is going to be like this groom's arrival. It's going to happen suddenly. You know it's coming, but you don't know when it's going to be. And so you need to wait prepared. Don't make the mistake of these foolish women. Be ready for it. Make sure you're ready for it. Because like this groom's arrival, Jesus' return is going to divide. When Jesus returns, it's going to be the day when God judges the world. When the justice that our world craves is fully and finally done. And on that day, those who are prepared, like the wise women, are going to enter into the party. into Jesus' wedding feast, into the feast that's into joy that is beyond our wildest imaginations, a place of unrivaled and unending joy. But those who aren't prepared, like the foolish woman, are going to be left outside. And when Jesus spoke about people being left outside, he was speaking about people facing the judgment of God. The Bible's verdict on all of us is that we've rebelled against the God who made us. John and Candace would say this about themselves. All of the Christians here would say this about themselves as well. We've taken God's good and kind and wonderful and beautiful gifts, like Rafe, like friends and family, and we've used God. We've rejected him. We've pushed away the giver. We've taken the gifts, but we have forgotten the giver. And so rightfully, we are to be forever excluded from God's big feast at the end of time. We're forever to be cut off from the source of goodness and joy. We're to be always on the outside. But Jesus came to offer us entry into this feast. He came to take the punishment that our rebellion against God deserves. He came to die in our place, taking the punishment that we deserve, to do everything necessary for us to be brought inside. And so, to be ready, to be prepared for Jesus' return, is to come to Jesus now, to trust that he has done everything ready for us to be brought inside, everything necessary for us to be brought inside, and to take hold of that personally, to take hold of that rescue for yourself. This is the only way. No Christian background or Christian connections or good works or general veneer of morality will help. When Jesus returns, there are only going to be two groups of people: those who are prepared and those who aren't. Those who have come to Jesus now and those who haven't. Those who are brought inside and those who are forever outside. And the question today is, which group are you in? Are you ready for Jesus' return? If the shout came now, the groom has arrived, would you be ready for him? I have a friend who always pushes this question off. He'll say something like, I'll think about it when I'm older, when I've lived a full life and I've enjoyed myself, when I'm on my deathbed, then I'll think about becoming a Christian, then I'll think about following Jesus. Maybe you think something similar. Your friend has been going on to you for a long time about it, and you think, maybe at another time I'll start thinking about it, when things are less busy, at work or at university. And when things are less hectic with the family, then I'll think about it. Later, the others also came. Lord, Lord, they said, open the door for us. But he replied, truly I tell you, I don't know you. Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. A couple of years ago, the friend of a father of mine from Hong Kong, or the father of a friend of mine who's from Hong Kong, was feeling a little bit unwell, and his wife and his son encouraged him to go to the doctor just to have it checked out. And he kept pushing it off. He kept saying, it's probably not that serious, I'm quite busy. When things have quietened down, then I will go to the doctor. Then I'll go and have it sorted out. And a few months later, he was dead, leaving behind a distraught wife and a son. He's still trying to pick up the pieces. It's tragic. If only he had listened to those who were warning him. If only he hadn't pushed action away. If only he had taken action before it was too late. And spiritually, are we like that? Are we pushing off the biggest thing that we could ever think about? Are we really going to kick the can down the road when our eternal futures are at stake? There will be a point when it is too late. That could be before the end of this service. It could be while you're tucking into the cake next door afterwards. It could be tomorrow. It could be just before you decide that maybe you should take it a bit more seriously. Maybe you shouldn't shrug it off and laugh about it. There will be a time when it's too late. At the end of this service, the friend who invited you, or if you came by yourself, the person sitting next to you, is going to ask if you're ready. They haven't been primed for this. This is as much a surprise for them as it is for you. They're going to ask you if you are prepared for Jesus' return, for his sudden arrival. I think you all have one of these snazzy little red booklets on your chair. These explore who Jesus is and why he came and how he makes us prepared for the day when he returns. And your friend will offer to go through it with you. And you could be evasive in your response. Maybe, yeah, I'll think about it. Maybe I'll give it a read at some point. You could push it away. I'm not sure. Maybe I'll get back to you about it at some point. But why would you? Why would you push it off? Why wouldn't you be urgent about thinking about it? The shout came suddenly, and these women were not ready. They'd left it until too late. They weren't prepared, and so they were left outside. Jesus is going to return suddenly. And if you're not ready, if you're not prepared then, if you're not prepared now, then you've missed your chance. It will be too late. One of the authors of the Ostrich Paradox wrote an article just before Hurricane Florence battered the Caribbean, I think some point in 2018. And he said that there's lots that's uncertain about hurricanes, just like when exactly they'll come. But what is almost certain, he said, is that even with warnings, it's a repeated pattern that when hurricanes arrive, people are unprepared. People end up trapped in their houses. People don't react in time. And as a result, some lives are needlessly and tragically lost. Now, I find it amazing that people are unprepared for hurricanes coming, that they push off action when it's approaching. It's madness that people don't prepare for it, that they don't get ready. And will it be the same for us when Jesus returns? Will he find us waiting prepared? Will we be ready for him? Therefore, keep watch, because you do not know the day or the hour. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that you do warn us about Jesus' return, and that in your patience you do give us opportunities to respond and be ready. Please would we not be those who push those opportunities off and shrug them away, but we pray that we would be found ready on the day that Jesus returns. We thank you that Jesus has done everything necessary for us to enter into your heavenly banquets, into that eternal feast. Please would we not ignore that and be found waiting ready. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.